This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Searchers in Texas continue looking through debris and downed trees for anyone who's still unaccounted for after the 4th of July floods. There are also a lot of questions about the response to the rising water and when alerts were sent out after initial warnings were given. ABC's Trevor Ault is in Kerr County, Texas.
Our affiliate KSAT obtaining recordings of a first responder at 4:22 a.m. July 4th asking an emergency alert be sent out to Kerr County residents, but the dispatcher was hesitant. But that code red, which pushes an alert to cell phones, wasn't sent out for another 90 minutes, some not until 10 a.m., too late for hundreds already underwater.
Another night of drone and missile strikes across Ukraine as U.S. officials admit they're thinking of imposing more sanctions against Russia over the war. Six Secret Service agents who were on duty when President Trump was nearly assassinated last summer have now been placed on suspension. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Voters are split on whether Governor Tony Evers should seek a third term. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The pollsters at Marquette Law School asked Wisconsin voters, do you think Evers should run for a third term? Charles Franklin, director of the poll.
42% say he should seek a third term, 55% say he should not, and 2% say they don't know. Again, a big partisan gap, 93% of Republicans know, 83% of Democrats, yes. So that's 15% of Democrats saying no and 1% don't know. But among those independents, the 12% that are purely independent, it's 37% he should run, 50% not, 9% don't know.
Franklin says Evers has a good record among Wisconsinites.
31 polls, his net approval has been positive, and in just 4 polls, net approval negative. So it's a pretty strong record. He remains the most popular of the political figures in the state that we ask about.
Democrats are shooting for a trifecta, aiming to take both chambers of the legislature and ensure there's a Democrat in the governor's office next year. Wisconsin is one of 5 states that President Donald Trump won last year that has a Democratic governor and a gubernatorial election in 2026. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The 2026 fall primary is 13 months away, with the gubernatorial election a year from November. Rain chances return today across the Cooley region. A slight chance of scattered showers and storms this afternoon could bring some light rain to the area, with highs in the mid-80s. Rain and storm chances are better tomorrow, where we could see an inch or two of precipitation with more rain falling and thunderstorms. After the rain moves out, we'll have sunny skies and highs in the low to mid-80s this weekend, before heating back up to the upper 80s early next week. We'll have more details at our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The crew celebrates a sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a day off before hosting the Nationals tomorrow night. The crew celebrating a sweep of the Dodgers with a 3-2 victory yesterday in extra innings. Jose Quintana had a no-hitter going until late in the fifth, facing a Dodgers lineup like Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman.
They are really good. You know, I just try to control the count, you know, and they do really well, you know, especially when 2 strikes, they don't chase too much. So they really discipline in the home plate, especially the 3 guys.
The Dodgers have now lost 6 in a row. Manager Dave Roberts.
Today was frustrating to lose. I thought the way we competed, couldn't put a crooked number up. You know, we had them where we wanted them, and we just couldn't finish it.
Then last night after the game, Pat Murphy announced.
Okay, we got good news. Trevor McGill has been named to the All-Star team. Fitting.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny to partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms. Our high in the low to mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms are possible. We'll drop into the mid-60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms possible with a high in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the landowners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals, he wants the lords, he wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'll be joined by Republican State Representative Duke Tucker to talk about his recent legislation to institute term limits for all major elected offices in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Sweet Kelby coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in a little bit, Brittany Merlot will be here, Civic Media award-winning meteorologist. For weather and wine, we're going to talk a little bit about the weather today, what's coming up this weekend, and look a little bit into next week. So stick around for that. Right now, though, she is a New York Times best-selling author, and she has the Substack called For Such a Time as This. Andra Watkins is our guest. So happy to have you here, Andra. So we could keep you on for 3 hours and still have more things to talk about. We had listener Sue just texted in with a question about Project 2025, Russ Vote, and how this is also all connected to the Seven Mountains Mandate.
Okay, so the Seven Mountain Mandate is part of Dominionist Christian nationalism, which is a strain of Christian nationalism that drew out of Protestant charismatic churches, Church of God churches. They believe in speaking in tongues and that sort of thing. That's not what I grew up in. I believe that Dominionism is the Opus Dei Catholic version of Christian nationalism, but for Protestant charismatics. So the Seven Mountain Mandate is, they have these seven mountains that they're supposed to take over society.
Right.
And they stay very secret in their pursuit of those mountains. It's unlike what I grew up in, where you're very in your face with everyone about your Christianity and always witnessing to them and talking about God and evangelizing. It's very much not that in Dominionism. You hide who you are, you hide your fanaticism until you reach your mountain. Sam, you know, there is a Supreme Court justice in Alabama who ruled on the IVF case. And he is one of these people who wrote about and referenced the Seven Mountain Mandate and Dominionism as part of the justification for his IVF decision in ruling against IVF. And so, you know, he worked for however long to get to that point where then he could influence our secular laws with his Dominionist philosophies. And Dominionists believe that they must force everyone to be Dominionists so that the earth can be perfect enough for Jesus to return. And until they succeed in forcing everyone to live their version of Dominionist Christianity through laws that are governed by their interpretation of the Bible, Jesus won't return. And so that's what they're working toward in pursuing these seven mountains and taking over them so that they could convert the world to this Shangri-La that Jesus can return to and rule for 1,000 years. I hope that answered your question.
Absolutely, and it scared the living crap out of me too.
Just to clarify, the seven mountains are family, religion, education, media, arts and entertainment, business, and government. So as Andra said, these are the seven areas that they believe they need to be the head of in order to bring about the second coming.
And I know that
Opus Dei Catholics. Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
No, I was just going to say, none of us are lawyers, and we can probably bring this up with Jim Santel another time, but when you reference such a deep religious belief in your opinion on a decision, it feels like you open yourself up to that decision being changed. When you say that when your decision on IVF is so rooted in your Christianity, I feel like someone can come forward later. I mean, like, this is obviously a very tainted decision. It wasn't based in science. In fact, it's based in one person's religious
theology.
Therefore, you can open it up for reinterpretation down the road. Now, granted, you said it was Louisiana?
Alabama.
It was Alabama.
I don't see it happening anytime soon, but I do feel like being so open and brazen isn't the best option for you.
Well, you know, if they do lose power, then we could overturn these kinds of decisions, and that should be one of our goals. You know, breaking the wall between separation of church and state is a fundamental goal of all Christian nationalists. And this week they've accomplished that as well.
Big win.
With the Supreme Court ruling on letting pastors endorse candidates from the pulpit, which is just ridiculous because they've practically been doing that for decades anyway.
Yes,
absolutely. But now it's official.
So, you know, Opus Dei Catholics have a similar approach. And that's what I was going to say earlier. Dominionists really ripped off Opus Dei's approach. They don't have a seven mountain mandate, but they have a similar approach of taking over the world and taking over these different aspects of society for Catholicism. Leonard Leo operates under that mentality. That's how he attacked the judiciary. Now he has another nonprofit to attack media and entertainment and try to take those over for his Catholic worldview. So the two of them operate very similarly. They just have different ideas about who's really going to heaven, and someday they'll have to fight about that.
And really quick, if you're just joining us, Andra Watkins is a New York Times bestselling author, and she also runs a Substack called For Such a Time as This. She is our Christian nationalist whisperer. She comes on the show about once a quarter to talk to us about this world. I mean, like, I grew up, I was born, raised, I enjoyed the sacraments of most of the sacraments of Catholicism, but I never, until I met you, knew that there was I treated Opus Dei with kid gloves because I only knew it from the movies, but I didn't realize how nefarious it was. And for my brain, the only thing I can think of is Marvel movies, of course, because I'm me, but I think of Hydra, which is to hide your intentions until you work your way into the halls of power, and then you spread. And you think, well, if we just vote Trump out, well, that's going to fix it. It's not. This is taking its roots over decades too, Andra, I'm sure. But you mentioned Dominion, Opus Dei. There are so many Christian nationalist sects alone. You like take away all the Christianity groups of the sects within Christianity, but the nationalist groups, they're all in power now in some sort. I think you mentioned a while ago, someone has to win.
And that's why she said at some point they're going to have to fight this out on who really gets to be the expert, right?
Exactly. When in the Baptist church that I grew up in, my pastor taught more sermons probably on how Catholics were all going to hell because their faith was wrong than just about any other topic. So none of them agree about who's going to heaven and how they're going to heaven. You take someone like Mike Lee, who is a Christian nationalist, but he's Mormon. In the church that I grew up in, being a Mormon was being part of a cult. That wasn't even Christian. But there are Christian nationalist Mormons. So they're going to have a big war eventually over which version of faith they're going to force everyone to live by. And that will just be dreadful for all of us. So we really need to work hard to keep from getting to that point.
Well, and again, one of the whole reason we have you on the show is because you have a perspective that I haven't heard from anyone else. You grew up in a Christian nationalist household. You went through that schooling system, so, and then you managed to get out of it, which is not a small thing. So I think you have a perspective that others do not have. In the time that we've got left, Andrew, I wanted to talk a little bit, and we have spoken about this before, about the Christian nationalist view of natural disasters. In the wake of this horrific flooding in Texas, we also had, I believe, three people were killed in New Mexico with flash flooding that happened there.
There's some flooding in North Carolina happening now, too.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Yes. But to a Christian nationalist, these things happen because too many people don't believe what they believe, so we all get punished for it. Is that accurate?
Well, they believe that we're living in the last days of the world and that increased natural disasters will be part of that. But they also believe that God is judging America for its sin and sexual immorality and rejection of Him. And these natural disasters are part of that judgment. So when Mike Johnson struts on to meet the press and sits down with his smarmy, sanctimonious face and says, "We just need to pray. That's really all we can do." Really, what he's saying to you Americans is God is judging America for its sin, for its rejection of Him. These natural disasters are part of that. And we really can't do anything about God's judgment. As Christian nationalists, you know, He judges and He makes decisions, and we can't get in the way of that, and we can't do anything to relieve that. If enough people suffer and if enough people lose things, then maybe people will realize how sinful they are, how much they're sinning, and they'll turn away from that sin and they'll turn back to God such that we'll have a revival and God will stop judging America.
And the natural disasters will stop.
And then the natural disasters will stop. And so when a Republican, any Republican, says prayers are going to get us through this or thoughts and prayers, that's really what they're saying to you. God is judging you because you're such a horrible sinner. And when enough people stop being sinning and causing God to judge America, then this can stop.
I just think about the fact that it does this justify then, or is it a prosperity gospel thing that if we're in the end days and nothing matters because God's judgment is final and we are sinning too much, it allows them to say, well, we don't have to worry about helping the poor. We don't have to create systems that, you know, strengthen Medicaid, widen Medicaid, Medicare, all of those things. Let's just the successful are the best examples of God's love because they have prospered more than anyone. So they should get all the money because it's going to be all over anyways. I just feel like it goes back to a very simple notion, Andrea, that if they're so Christian, if they're so religious, if they're so deeply rooted in the idea of God's love, they should be the first ones out there saying, we need to help everyone. We need to make sure that everyone.
Exactly.
But they don't.
But this creates it creates this version of nihilism. You know, why do we need to help anybody? Because we're living in the last days. We don't need to do anything about any of these disasters because these are all part of the Bible's predictions anyway. And God is judging people and we don't need to help them because they deserve His judgment. So it's little wonder why they have no empathy whatsoever, because they've been lobotomized of their empathy through these churches that teach this nihilistic view of humanity and society and God.
Well, and I think it's interesting, and we're running out of time, but I do think it's interesting with this decision allowing churches now and religious organizations to talk politics from the pulpit. Mainstream religions are having a hard time. They're losing people the way it is. I would think for some denominations, like the more Christian nationalists, this is going to work in their favor. For more mainstream Christian organizations, I think that's going to be a bigger turnoff, and I think people are going to continue to leave because they don't want to hear politics from the pulpit.
I agree. You know, Christian nationalists have done a lot to destroy Christianity overall.
Yeah, they've done a lot of
and
damage.
And will continue to do so if they stay on this trajectory.
Subscribe to her Substack. She is a New York Times bestselling author. The Substack is called For Such a Time as This. Andrea Watkins has been our guest. Thank you so very much, Andrea. Always love having you on the show. We'll see you again soon.
Bye, everybody.
We got weather and wine with Brittany Merlot on the way. What's coming up? What should you pack if you're going on vacay? That's all on the way. Stay here. Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today on the Todd Alba Show, he's going to be broadcasting from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Fine.
I know, along with Pat Kreitlow. They will be joined by Trigvi Olson, I believe. Also, the Rusty Volk is the fair director up there for the Great Northern Wisconsin State Fair food fair sampling. Go for the corn dogs.
I'm there.
Go for the corn dogs. And what's worse, in hour number three, also they're going to talk about Coob.
Oh, man, Coob.
Coob, which is it's a really cool sporting event. Huge. Yep. Huge.
Worldwide.
Huge in the Eau Claire area. So join Todd today from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Todd Alba, 2 to 4 across the network. Right now, joining us, our award-winning Civic Media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, is here for a little weather and wine. How you doing, lady?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Great.
Let's talk about the weather we got coming today. Is it going to rain or what's going on? We have two systems.
Yes, we do. We've got a whole mess of things going on. Very active, very unsettled over the next few days. The rain is already starting to push into southwestern Wisconsin right now. It's light to start. But as we go through this afternoon and especially into this evening and overnight and through the rest of the weekend too, we are looking at heavy rainfall potentially. I've been looking at the system for, you know, every single day, multiple times a day for a while now, and it's been changing and shifting, and it's been putting heavy amounts of rain in northern Wisconsin, and now it's starting to really settle into southern Wisconsin area. So central to southern half of the state, be on alert because you could pick up a quick 1 to 2 inches, maybe even 3 or 4 just tonight.
Oh, that's a lot.
That stays the case as we go into tomorrow and, you know, the weekend as well, because we've got a lot of moisture. We've got a lot of humidity. We've got a lot of stuff to work with. So there's a lot of moisture that can come out of these storms. And that's a little bit concerning because we saw flash flooding in a lot of places recently. I mean, Chicago, Texas, a lot of, you know, Minnesota too. So we've got to be on alert. It happens fast. And this is your forewarning because it happens so fast. It is hard for us meteorologists to get that word out and to everyone where they need it.
And I think it's hard for people to appreciate, Brittany, just how much 3 inches of rain is. If that were snow, do you know what that would translate into? That would be several feet of snow, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Yeah. Yes, it would.
So we're talking about a lot of water in what can happen in a very short period of time.
Yes, and it's kind of a situation of the fact that this front is moving so slow. These storms are going to kind of be stuck in one spot, barely moving, and that's why we're getting dumped on, and this is why this is a concern. And this isn't just for people by rivers. Please stay alert, even in the cities, because like you saw in Chicago, there were water rescues out of cars on Tuesday of this week in downtown, affecting many, many, many people. And I always say, all meteorologists, turn around, don't drown. You've heard that phrase.
I was just going to say that, right? Though.
Wait, what does that mean? Sorry, what does that mean?
Never heard turn around, don't drown?
I've heard don't drown many times. That people tell me that all the time.
You tell them what it means, Brittany. Turn around, don't drown.
You know, you never know if that road is underneath you, first and foremost. I have gone to flooding situations in northern Wisconsin. I mean, think about Duluth. They've had sinkholes, you know, after major floods. Mm-hmm. Many, many things can happen. It can look like the road is there and there's just a little bit of water. No big deal. Once you get in there, if you have just a foot of water standing there, it can float your car.
Yeah.
There's a current.
And you're gone.
This is from a river. You're moving.
Yeah, you're gone.
I get it now. Now I understand the context. I thought you meant like when you're looking at the rain, just turn around. I don't know. I'm not trying to be funny. I didn't know what
but
it meant.
But I think too, Brittany, unfortunately, sometimes I think people in certain types of vehicles think because, hey, I'm driving a however many thousand pound F-150 and I'm sitting up higher. And so that's going to make a difference. If you float, you float.
You float. Yep. Also, and again, repeating, you don't know if there's wires under there. Mm-hmm. I've seen highways shattered. That road isn't as thick as you really think it is. And there's things underneath it. So my main priority is you guys stay safe out there.
Just don't drive through standing water. You don't know. You don't know what's ahead of you.
But giant splashes.
Yeah, I know. Go find a puddle near your house. You can splash in that.
Oh, fun.
What are we looking at as far as getting into next week? Is this unstable weather going to be continuing?
Yeah. So what's happening, we've got a cold front that is going to actually start to slam through on Saturday. So this cold front is going to move a bunch more rainfall, more showers and storms through the state throughout the entire day. So northwest early, by the time it gets down southeast, it's going to be later in the day. Sunday, we finally have a high pressure system that settles in. It's going to be cooler too and comfortable. Some of that humidity starting to leave. But it's only one day.
Oh.
All right.
So and then the humidity is back?
Sunday. Yep. And then it starts to push back in on Monday. We'll still stay sunny. We're still dry. So Sunday, Monday, good time to cut that grass. But
don't tell me what to do.
Tuesday. You don't have to.
Okay.
I mean, maybe the city will make you, but we are going to see more rain moving in by Tuesday night into Wednesday and our Thursday as well. So not too much of a dry stretch there. However, the sun will be nice after the next few days. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about anyone else because I live in Kenosha, but it's been cooler, like 70s and upper 60s. And just, you know, you have like a week and a half of walking outside and it's like hot at 5:30 in the morning.
And you can just
like,
feel the moisture in the air.
But you walk out this morning, like, oh, this feels nice. This is perfect. Stay this way forever.
Yes. Gotta love that east breeze off the lake, there keeping you your free AC.
Brittany Merlot is Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist. She joins us once a week for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, Brittany. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Stay with us. News is coming up next when we come back. Audio sorbet. Baseball, baby.
Yeah.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Thursday's La Crosse Common Council meeting will have several agenda items, starting with action on multiple property developments that seek to add housing units and commercial space to the city. Other council agenda items include modifying the La Crosse Regional Airport's operating budget to handle a pair of capital projects, funding to repair the roof of the La Crosse Center, setting aside legal funds for the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition, and approving a plat for a subdivision south of the Highways 14-35-61 roundabout. For the third straight year, the Universities of Wisconsin system is looking to increase tuition rates for its four-year campuses. UW schools will raise tuition by 5%, except for Green Bay going up by 4% and River Falls adding 5.8%. The announcement comes after the state's biennial budget provided $256 million in additional funding to UW. After a 10-year freeze on tuition increases, the UW system raised tuition by 5% in 2023 and 3.75% in 2024. The Board of Regents will vote on the tuition increases on Thursday. UW La Crosse is moving forward with plans to finish work on the Prairie Springs Science Center. The announcement this week came after $194 million was included in the state's biennial budget for the project. With the additional funding, UWL will add 30 new rooms, including classrooms and labs, to the Science Center. About half of UWL's student body is pursuing a degree in science, according to Chancellor James Beebe. All four of La Crosse's Democratic legislative members voted to approve the biennial budget last week. One of La Crosse's public pools will be closed this weekend. The Veterans Memorial Pool will close this Friday through Sunday. According to city officials, the closure is because of staffing shortages. Two other city pools, Northside Community and Erickson, will remain open. Veterans Memorial is scheduled to reopen on Monday when the city can staff the pool. Admission to La Crosse's public pools is $5 per person. You can find out more information on pool hours and scheduled activities on the city's government website. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite mediocre reviews, Dinosaurs prevailed as box office champions over the 4th of July weekend. As expected, Jurassic franchise Rebirth, also known as Jurassic World Rebirth, was tops at the box office, pulling in $147 million domestically over the five-day weekend and $318 million worldwide. The film stars Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali and some pretty impressive CGI dinosaurs. Coming in second place was the Brad Pitt-driven F1, which brought in $26 million and saw a somewhat respectable drop-off of 54% from the week before. How to Train Your Dragon came in third place with about $10 million in its fourth week of release. The family film is now at $224 million domestically, with well over a half a bill worldwide. Rounding out the top five were the Pixar film Elio with about $5 million Buku Dolores, and 28 years later came in fifth place with $4.6 million at the gate. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and storms sparking this afternoon, continuing through this evening, and becoming heavy overnight. Torrential downpours could cause some flash flooding. Gusty winds are possible too, and the rain won't quit. Coming in waves for Friday and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world.
From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans into the studio to discuss his new show at the Meyer Theater. Then Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show to talk movies, TV, and Madison.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited. Matinair on Air. And the Todd Alba Show, we are going on the road next week.
We are?
Yes.
When did this get decided?
We've been working on this for
a while. I am really upset.
We are going to be stopping next Wednesday. We'll be broadcasting from Oshkosh, on Thursday from Butternut, and on Friday from Hayward. We're going to talk about the EAA Air Venture. We're going to be talking about Packers training camp. Going to learn about the history of Butternut, along with many other small towns in Wisconsin. So much more. I hope you can join us next week. Special road trip editions of Matinair on Air and the Todd Alba Show next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Should be a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to it. We talked about this earlier this morning and said, too, if you have suggestions, if you live in those areas and you think there's something we should stop by and check out, let us know.
Yeah.
Send it to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Yeah. I believe Tony on the live stream told us earlier that there is a place that I'm not finding right now. So
yeah, I saw that.
It's north of
Hayward. Go to Sawmill Saloon.
There it is. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Send those to janesays@civicmedia.us and we'll put them on a little list. And if we,
hopefully we'll be able to hit him and say hello.
And also thanks to my cousin for calling. It was really nice to hear from her. She's lovely. So, all right. Yeah. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a really fun time. I'm looking forward to seeing parts of Wisconsin that I've never seen before. I've really, really wanted to explore more of Wisconsin, especially the northern area, because I just imagine standing in a gorgeous space in the state going, I can just breathe and enjoy and relax.
The one thing I remember when Todd and I went on the road last year was the amount of stars that you can see. Mm-hmm. When you get away from all the ambient light in the city, It really is awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
It is.
And you know how much I love space.
You do love space.
You might have to hold me while I'm crying and looking at the stars.
Yes, join us next week as Greg cries over space. And many other things. We'll be in Oshkosh on Wednesday, in Butternut on Thursday, and then we'll wrap up our adventure on Friday in Hayward, the wonderful Hayward, Wisconsin. Right now, Audio Sorbet, J.R. Radcliffe. We had a little rescheduling with J.R., so he'll be back in a couple of weeks to join us to talk about things sports. So we're going to do Audio Sorbet instead and still talk baseball.
Yeah.
Let's talk about yesterday's Brewers game.
Get that broom, because they're sweeping the Dodgers, the world championship Dodgers.
Calvin,
suck it!
We have a couple clips to play from yesterday's game, Brewers and the Dodgers. Let's hear that clip, please, Calvin.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep coming after you. You know, we keep clawing away. It's base hits. Did we have an extra base hit today? No, we didn't.
Not a single one in the game.
I love Pat Murphy.
There wasn't a single one in the game. Well, that speaks to our pitching staff and Contreras. But, the way we went about it, that's it.
I love Pat. So that was Pat Murphy, your 2024 Coach of the Year. He won Coach of the Year last year. I love this man. And when we had Paul on, when we had JR on, we all sort of agreed that in the face of losing Craig Counsell and losing, that was going to be tough, difficult. The Brewers did quite well last year. Didn't get as far as I'd like.
Right.
But they definitely did way better than expected. And this season, I feel like we lost players. and we expect it. You know, I think the generous prediction was a 500 season, 50-50. Now they're above 500 right now. That can change, but they have worked.
There's still a lot of the season left.
They've worked themselves out of a deficit from fourth place to second place. And if I'm not mistaken, I should have checked this before, but we were within a few games of first place from the Cubs. So once again, this team being always undercut, doubted by I'm one of those people who doubted. We're a game and a half behind first place.
That's pretty great.
And that's a great move. They just work and they move. And I feel like there's just something special about the Brewers. And with Pat Murphy at the helm, it's just great to watch. And I told you yesterday on the show, we beat the Dodgers 2 games in a row. I would love a sweep, but I'll take the win. And if you're keeping track, in the ninth inning, they were losing. And then all of a sudden in the Civic Media chats, it was just...
It exploded.
I think the exact quote was, I love this team.
It just exploded, yeah.
And it's not fair weather fandom either. It's the fact that we just get so excited because, you know, you can't be a fair weather fan of the Brewers. They do well, but they don't win rings. And that's sad, but we are a fierce group of fans. We love that team so much.
Calvin, did you watch the game yesterday?
You know, I'm not a big baseball fan personally, but it's always exciting and fun when the Brewers are doing good. It's kind of just like an energy that comes to the city and the state wide when any of our sports teams are good, but especially the Brewers with it being summer and fun and all that kind of thing.
It was great. It was great to see him sweep the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's something a lot of people anticipated. I don't.
No, they didn't. I mean, they definitely did not anticipate where they were going to go this season, you know. But I think the same thing can be said against the Pirates too. They were not expecting big thing from them, and they beat the Pirates. They're doing really well against teams that are on paper are outdoing them.
Should be beating them.
Yeah, exactly. And it just goes to show. And I think a lot has to do with someone like Trevor McGill, who had a great game. And I think the Miz is a great player, and he's, you know, he's just getting started. Jackson. I mean, we've got both a great foundation of older players and this new crop who are in. And by older, I mean, you know, they're in their late 20s, early 30s.
Oh my God, they're almost dead.
Oh my God. But it's really, Calvin, I believe you have a clip about from Trevor McGill talking about the win against the Dodgers as well and being named possibly an All-Star.
Sweep the Dodgers at home, that's give the fans what they want, right? That was awesome. So I'm glad to be a part of that. And then also with the news as well, like that's just some goal that I put out in the offseason, and here it is coming true.
Oh, he was named. Oh, I'm sorry. He was named to the All-Star. I'm sorry.
That's pretty exciting.
That's very, very exciting. I mean, you've been talking about the Brewers, I'm sure, for a long time in radio and whatnot, and you've got to see some cool stuff. I mean, are there any memories you have of the Brewers that resonate?
And again, unfortunately, this wasn't a win, but in 1982, mm-hmm. when they were in the series,
yeah.
And I was at my first job in radio in New Ulm, Minnesota, and I was in a play.
Oh.
And we were rehearsing for the play when the game was going on. So when I wasn't on stage, I would run across the street to this bar so I could catch up on the score. So I'm running back and forth and running back and forth. And even though they didn't go all the way, it was still just chilling.
Yeah.
You know, and just so exciting. And I think Todd has talked a lot about that the movie about the 82 Brewers. Mm-hmm. And again, we all know how that ended.
Yeah.
We all know they didn't go all the way, but it still was a wonderful season.
It was a very young team, too. And I don't mean the ages of the players. I mean the fact that team had only been around for 12 years. It's not in the annals and the histories of baseball. That's
a baby.
It's a baby team. And the fact that they made it and we just would love to make it further. Like, you know, we got close in 2018, but it just kind of, and the Dodgers were the ones who took it away from us.
Interesting.
They beat us in game 7 of the NLCS, which was heartbreaking to watch, but it does mean we can get there. I mean, and we want to know from you folks. We want to know your baseball memories, your Brewers memories. Do you have Milwaukee Braves memories too from when they
played? That would be great.
You know, my grandmother, she told stories. She worked at County Stadium from I think from when it was built.
Really?
To the early 90s. She was a concession lady. She sold hot dogs and beer and things like that. But she worked there for decades. And she had nothing but wonderful stories to tell about the players. They were always so nice. They were always accessible. You know, they'd call her Ruthie and whatnot. And
that's awesome.
It's just a good thing to have. So, I mean, I remember going to a game with it was either my cousin or my dad. I think it was my cousin, though. We were playing the Twins, and it was my first taste of a nail-biting victory where it was truly out of a movie. It was bottom of the ninth, down by one run, two on base, Robin Yount hits a home run, and we win. And I can still remember the pop of the crowd when we realized it was going out of the park. And I had never, at that point in my life, I think, experienced group excitement of that level because I was a little kid.
Sure.
But just that notion, you hear that, you know, that
and you just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And everyone roar. Just loses their mind. You're like, oh my gosh, it's just, yeah, we won. I still remember that to this day.
We'd love to hear your memories. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC talking about the crew sweeping the Dodgers yesterday. That's a pretty good thing.
It's a very,
That's a
very
pretty good thing. Unfortunately, the other memory that sticks with me about the Brewers.
Okay.
When they built Miller Park.
Yeah.
Replaced Knockdown County Stadium, built a new stadium. And they had the bathrooms with the floor-to-ceiling windows.
What? I don't see. You
don't remember that?
I do not remember this.
I would let anybody listening.
In the bathrooms?
They had floor-to-ceiling windows. In the bathrooms.
Nasty.
And I remember going to that opening day with a girlfriend of mine. And as we were leaving, we saw things we were not ever hoping to sign up for. And then they changed it and they put something up halfway against the windows. Because some people just apparently don't know how to behave themselves.
God, I love baseball so much. Don't get that at a Packers game, do you?
No, it's too cold.
And you can tell then.
Yes, you absolutely can.
I love, you know, I'm hopefully going to go to a game in Chicago, a Wrigley game this year. I've been to...
Wrigley is a great... I've only been to one game at Wrigley. It's such a beautiful park.
It's a beautiful park.
It's a beautiful park.
Yeah, and I don't think I want to go see the Brewers play the Cubs there just because I feel like I would end up having a panic attack because it's the Brewers versus the Cubs is a thing. I like going to other ballparks to relax. Like I've been to the Angels Park, and there's something about going to a game where you don't really care if either team wins. Like I went to the Angels game, and at the time, that's actually where Shohei Ohtani came from, but I don't think he was on the team at that point. But it was a third place team versus a fourth place team. And I had my Brewers hat on. I'm like,
in the park. It's a good day.
As long as you boys have a good time, yeah. You know? So yeah, I just love baseball so much. Maybe there's some folks up in the northern area. Is there any minor league baseball? Is there like any independent baseball that maybe we can catch a game in the evening? Who
That's
knows?
A great,
That'd be really fun.
We'll look into that.
Please let me know. I would love to do that. But yeah.
You can always reach us at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays. We mentioned this before. If you have a business in your community, a fundraiser for something, some issue in your community that you would like to see get more attention, let us know about it, please. At janesays@civicmedia.us.
And if there's a community leader up in those areas, we'd love to talk to them as well. They can, you know, we're still working on all the programming for the show, getting people booked and whatnot. If there's a local leader that you think would be a good fit, let us know.
Absolutely. Reach out. janesays@civicmedia.us. All right. Excuse me. When we return, we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's Matcha, Matcha Man.
Matcha, Matcha, Matcha Man.
That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Shayna Broussard became the chair of the Federal Election Commission July 1st. Problem is, her bipartisan commission, hapless in the best of times, will still be paralyzed. The agency is supposed to have 6 members, but has only 3, so no enforcement can take place. Broussard, a Democrat, was nominated by President Donald Trump in his first term and confirmed by the Senate in December 2020. Broussard served as a counsel in the FEC beginning in 2008. Broussard takes the reins of an agency unable to do its job. Resignations of commissioners in January and April and Trump's firing of Chair Ellen Weintraub in February left only 3 members and no quorum to enforce election and campaign finance rules. The commission frequently deadlocks along its 3 Democrat and 3 Republican party lines. Only in egregious cases of corruption, such as Congressman George Santos, is a bipartisan recommendation for prosecution typically made. The FEC can continue to require campaign finance reporting, receive complaints, investigate, and make recommendations. It just can't enforce anything. Why, you may ask, has a Democrat become chair of the Trump administration's FEC? Because it's unlikely Trump will nominate an additional 3 members, keeping the FEC powerless to referee the upcoming midterms. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, you sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wore sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You are going out tonight. There's a local event.
Oh, that's right. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm almost 48 years old. I don't go out unless I'm...
Boswell Books.
Yes.
In Milwaukee.
Boswell Books in Milwaukee on Downer. It is a wonderful, wonderful independent bookstore.
It is.
They have wonderful events. And one of the wonderful, actually 2 wonderful people who will be there will be Felipe Torres Medina, who was our guest earlier this week to talk about his book, America Let Me In, which is a choose your own immigration story. He will be with his wife, Taylor K. Phillips, who is also an author.
Yep.
And they're both comedy writers. Felipe used to work for Late Night with the Late Show with Colbert. Taylor still works for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. She is an Emmy winner, so I'm sure she'll probably be talking about her book as well, but this is Felipe's book tour. They will both be there. I am planning on going unless something crazy happens. I believe I should have pulled this up because, you know, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
But I believe it
preparation
starts.
Preparation is key.
It starts at 6:30 this evening, but it's going to be a really fun time. They're both very, very funny.
You can always go back and listen to our conversation with Felipe. He was on earlier this week.
Yes.
Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, mm-hmm. go to Matt and Air on Air, and then we have an archive of all the previous shows.
And that episode is called America Let Them In. And it is, yes, it's tonight at Boswell Books, which is on Downer. It's at 6:30. So that's going to be a really fun time. If you want to come out, you might see me. I'm the guy who looks like me.
It is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the Daily Beast, Tom Sanders with the byline. The headline reads, Matcha tea lovers turn on each other over global shortage. The traditional Japanese tea has skyrocketed in popularity, putting a huge strain on vendors. Matcha tea lovers turning on each other because of the growing demand and global shortages, skyrocketing prices, and now gatekeeping. Matcha fans are accusing each other of hoarding. The traditional green tea's meteoric rise in popularity has put a big strain on the small number of Japanese vendors who produce matcha tea yearly, resulting in tourists bulk buying it and then others accusing them of hoarding it. TikToker users are posting videos of the tea making process, having the amount of powder they use to make it ruthlessly scrutinized by scorned matcha purists.
You know what? Earlier in this hour, we were talking to Andrea Watkins, who is a wonderful person, and she was talking about a certain nihilist ideal of Christian nationalism. Maybe it's time for us to be over. Maybe we weren't what God intended, because I feel
went a little off course somewhere.
If at any point in your life you want to pick up your phone and go to your social media platform of choice, go to someone's account, watch a video, and then scream at them about the way they are hoarding and or using and or gatekeeping matcha tea, I think you may need to touch some grass, take a breath, and just disconnect for a moment, because that is not well behavior.
Travel agent Michi Sato tells the Wall Street Journal, quote, "It's a little bit insane that you'd see these tourists just come and buy so much matcha that they'll carry big bags of 50 or more tins of matcha. I really am against gatekeeping in general, but I think there's some merit in not allowing these people to just ruin the whole matcha culture."
But who's ruining it? That's the question. Is like
matcha fans.
But who's gonna eat it? Drink it then? Like I don't like. I'm so befuddled by this, Jane. It's if you want some, that's great. And if they're buying it, they're supporting local businesses. Who is gatekeeping? Like, who's telling? Who?
Well, I guess they're not happy with the people who are going there and buying up all the matcha, and then they can't get their matcha because this person bought 50 tins of it.
So they're matcha keeping.
They're matcha hoarding.
They're matcha hoarding.
They're matcha hoarding.
They're matcha hoarding.
That's okay. What's upset
they're people. They're matcha horticulturalists.
It's, yes.
This is very strange times we live in. I don't know if I've ever had matcha tea, but now when I hear it, I think of people saying, I love matcha.
It's a green tea. That was like one of the only teas we would drink as kids.
Was it matcha or green? Like,
it was green. It was, yeah. This is back in the 60s. It was called green tea.
I want to get some avocado toast with my matcha.
We didn't have avocado. No, that didn't
You
exist.
Had avocado and you had toast, but you never thought to put them together.
To put them together.
Because you don't think like a influencer.
It was 1967. Give me a break. Yeah, it was green tea with a lot of sugar. But yes, now apparently it's matcha wars are going on, so just be aware out there.
Yeah, just stand back. If you see two people with bags,
let them go.
Just don't even engage.
Stay out of it.
Stand back, disengage, get your green liquid somewhere else.
Protect yourself.
Protectors, yes. Yes.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, and Pete Schwabba wrapping it up with Nightlight, 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal judge in New Hampshire says he will certify a class action lawsuit, including all children who will be affected by President Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship. The judge also says he'll issue a preliminary injunction blocking that order. The number of people killed in Texas flooding remains 120, and the search for those unaccounted for continues, says Police Sergeant Jonathan Lamb.
Response here in Kirk County continues to expand as the mission becomes more technical. There's more than 2,100 responders on the ground here from state, local, and federal agencies working to reunite victims with families.
At Wimbledon, American Amanda Anisimova has upset number one seed Aryna Sabalenka to reach her first Grand Slam final. The original Birkin bag that gave birth to fashion's most must-have accessory selling at auction today in Paris for more than $8 million. This is